This is Easy Does It Barbecue with your host, Dan McDonald, owner of Colorado Barbecue Outfitters. If you're ready to dig into some serious talk about all things barbecue, from the moo to the oink, grab a cold one and let's get down to business. Now, here's Dan McDonald.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Easy Does It Barbecue with Dan McDonald, sponsored by Colorado Barbecue Outfitters at 5921 North Academy Boulevard, right here in Colorado Springs. We call it Easy Does It Barbecue because we talk about the easiest ways to do it. Today's topic is one of the classes that I teach at the store, which is jerky. A lot of people love jerky. It's a fan favorite. A lot of people buy jerky. It can be very expensive. So I want to talk about how you can make it yourself at home. You can make it a lot cheaper than what it is at the store and a heck of a lot healthier as well.
You never have to visit a doctor or answer any health questions.
You've probably been to the store and seen the jerky up by the cash registers and what they call the impulse racks, and they're quite expensive. And you probably wonder yourself, how does that meat sit there day in and day out and not spoil? Well, we're going to talk about how that happens, and we're also going to teach you, like I said, how to do it at home. Several ways you can do jerky, and we'll talk about them.
People, can I have your attention, please, people?
Anyone who knows me knows that I'm always really interested in the history of things and how things get started, and in my classes, I always talk about history of barbecue and history of meats and all kinds of things, and today's no different. We're going to talk about the history of jerky. More than likely, people have concluded that human beings kind of got the idea of dried meat or jerky thousands of years ago when they noticed predators cached their kills up in trees. Obviously, they did that to keep it away from other predators. But what happened was the sun and the wind blowing through those tree branches dried the meat out, and it actually caused it to last a lot longer. Now, of course, we have different digestive systems than other wildlife predators out there. So we have to be a little more careful. We can't just catch meat up in trees and then eat it. It could make us sick.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Jerky can go back in history all the way to ancient Egypt. That is the oldest existence that they found. So we're talking thousands of years ago. Now remember, folks, you know, we didn't have refrigeration back in these days. So most of the jerky that was made is not how we consume it today. We consume it today mainly because we like it. Back then they did it for survival. They had to do it. They would kill the animal, and they only had so much time to do something with that meat before it spoiled and made it healthy to eat. Way back, right around the 1500s or so, the Quechua Indians, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, of South America, they handed down from the ancient Incans a way of doing jerky, and they called it basically charqui. So you can see where the word came from. And it meant dried meat, simply. The Native Americans also dried out meats all through North America. And then, of course, charqui, that word, C-H-A-R-Q-U-I, became jerky as we know it today. The Native Americans did it mainly to preserve meat. Also, a lot of Native American tribes were very mobile. They moved around. They kind of were the first snowbirds, if you will. They were smart enough to move their tribes down to warmer weathers and more plentiful water and food in certain times of the year. So jerky was a way that they could dry out the meat. It was portable. It was very high in protein, high in calories. So it was something that was very good for them back in those days. And it gave them the nutrition that they needed. And especially during harsher weather, where they might not have been able to go out and hunt every day.
It looks like rain.
They could cache this jerky and store it, and people could eat off of it for weeks. The North Americans, as we know it in our country, they made something called pemmican. And again, it's just a form of dried meat. However, the things that the Native Americans did that was a little different, they took that dried meat after they made it, and they pounded it up. They pulverized it into almost like a paste and sometimes a powder. And then they added fats, different types of fats they extracted from other hunts and kills. And then they added dried berries as well. So that pemmican is a Cree word. And it was jerky was very heavily traded back in that time. You had mountain men, basically the fur trappers that came into the mountains and made quite a bit of money searching for things like gold and pelts and whatnot.
How much money can you get?
And jerky was a great way for them to be able to travel. It was lightweight. Like I said, it lasted a long time, and it was actually very flavorful, depending on the way they made it. Pemmican was actually sun-dried. Obviously, they did not have the advantage of really fancy smokers and ovens like we do, although they did have things like brick ovens and things they might have used. But for the most part, it was just dried over what I call a punky fire or a low-temperature fire that generally had a lot of smoke to it. Again, it was mixed with melted fat. It had dried fruits were added. These were all pounded, and then sometimes it was used, eaten straight, the jerky that is, or it was made into a stew called rubaboo.
What is that?
Which I thought was kind of a funny word. There's many different types of jerky. Just about any meat can be made into jerky. There are some that I think personally are better than others. I think the one that probably comes to mind most popularly is beef jerky, or wild game. But beef is the most common. If you're buying jerky at a store, you are probably most likely getting beef. Wild game can be done. I've told you all in previous shows, and then also that frequent the store. My father was a big game hunter. In fact, my first experience, again, with smoking was when we lived in Alaska, and my dad used to smoke the salmon that he would catch on a small little smoker that we had. And I was about 8 years old, seven, 8 years old. But he was also a big game hunter, and he pretty much captured just about anything you could think of. I grew up eating, you name it, any kind of meat that you could hunt or get, we had. And my dad sometimes liked to have jerky processed out of that. He would take it hunting with him. And again, just a great portable snack, full of protein. But wild game, of course, has been done for decades and decades. As I said, the mountain men used to do it quite a bit with a lot of their meat. They would turn it into jerky. Fish, up in the northern territories, up in Canada and up around Alaska and those northern areas up there, a lot of times they will take fish and salmon and make jerky out of that as well. So you'll find that. There's something called turkey jerky. You can buy it in the store. But turkey meat is used pretty popular for jerky, believe it or not. Pork, not so much. That's the one meat that you don't see a lot of jerky made out of pork, just simply because of how pork is. It generally needs to be cooked to a warmer temp. Make sure that you get rid of any bacteria or microbes or whatnot. So you won't see pork jerky too much. Pork is usually salted, heavily salted. So you can have sort of a version of it, but it's a little bit different than what I'm talking about today. Usually a lot of times the meat is cut smaller or it is sliced. The reason they do that is the smaller the size of the meat, quite frankly, the quicker that it dries out. If you have a heavy piece of meat and you're trying to set that out as they did hundreds of years ago in the sun, it would take forever to dry out, and then probably the meat would spoil by that time. So they're usually going to slice it. Most of what you see commercially made are sliced or sometimes cut into smaller chunks, little nuggets type things. You'll see that a lot. But it's just simply done faster and to prevent spoilage during the drying out process. One of the things that you'll find out when doing jerky, about 80% of most meat is simply water. And when you do the jerky and dry it out, you're taking a lot of that volume out. So it's not really surprising to find out that 16 ounces of raw meat dried just yields about 4 ounces. So one of the things about jerky is you did have to make a lot of it to end up with a final portion. But, you know, you can imagine one huge buffalo that they would take down would yield hundreds of pounds of jerky, even when you're done. Here's your Easy Does It Barbecue IQ. I want to talk a little bit about the different ways to make jerky. Nowadays, most people probably eat it and don't even take into account how is that jerky made. Way back, they did it simply by sun drying it. A lot of times they would just lay it out in the sun, and on a breezy day between the air and the heat of the sun, it would act as just a natural dehydrator. And it would dry the meat out. And of course, thousands of years ago, that's basically what they had. Or they would lay it over sticks. And as I said, they would put a low content of hot ash under, so just enough heat, And then again, by laying it out and spacing out the strips of meat, you would allow good airflow through them, and that helped dry out the meat. So sun-dried. Not a method I would recommend today, simply because we have too many other ways to do it more safely and more easily. Ironically, though, Colorado does offer pretty decent weather. We're pretty arid here. We're pretty dry in our desert-like and due to the elevation. And as you all know, we have a lot of wind here. So, but it's not a method I would recommend you do. Only venison is, if you just are absolutely dying to try this sun-dried method, which I imagine most of you would not, but I would only recommend doing it with venison, young lamb, or a very lean beef. And I'll talk about some of those cuts here later. Fish can be done if heavily salted. They actually do that quite a bit, again, up north. But never use poultry or pork for sun-dried. And again, as a disclaimer, I wouldn't really recommend sun-dried, folks. We have just too many other reasonably priced options that you could make jerky. One of them is oven-dried. And you can do it right in the oven. As long as the oven can go down low in temp, it works really well to start. If you want to try making your own jerky and experiment with some flavors, you can get on the internet, and there's no less than probably 100,000 recipes on different ways to make jerky. But if you don't want to invest a lot of money, you can do the oven-dried method. You want to, again, make sure that your temp can get down the lowest temp as you can. Ideal temp is about 140 to 160. So if your oven can go down that low, then you can probably do it. You don't want to use the broiler. The broilers is designed to be pretty hot. The only way I would ever recommend putting a broiler on is if you put that broil on a low setting, set a cookie sheet between the broiler and your meat, and that'll diffuse some of the heat. But again, I wouldn't use the broiler as a first option. I would just use the temperature of the oven overall. Leave the door open. That's right. So this is not something you probably want to do right now in the heat of summer, because it is going to heat up your kitchen. But you want to leave your oven door cracked. And the reason being is, again, you want good airflow. In fact, what I would recommend if you try this method and you have a fan laying around the house, position the fan so it's actually blowing towards that door or the crack in the side of the door. You want to get good airflow along with that heat, even though you're cooking in the oven. Again, the temperature as low as it can go. If 140 is ideal, but however low your oven can go, it would be a good way to start. But the oven-dried method is, it's obviously a little more work, but no cost to most people except for the meat and marinade or cure. And again, we'll talk about those later. One of the options, I have a couple of these actually, and it's called a dehydrator. And the cool thing about dehydrators, folks, is they'll not just dehydrate meat. You can make your own fruit roll-ups at home. You can dehydrate all kinds of fruits. They just make for great snacks to eat. They're healthy. They're basically organic. Other than the sugar that comes in the content of the food, they're sugar-free. And especially for kids, they are just great snack options for kids. And they're relatively easy to make. We're going to focus on meat, of course, today. But just know that a dehydrator has many uses for you. The way dehydrators work is they usually have many trays that are stacked on top of each other. Most of the lower-priced options you'll find in the marketplace, they have a heating element at the bottom that just simply gets a low temp, 120 to 140, as I mentioned. And then a lot of times they'll have a fan, just a small fan that's blowing air, again, up, blowing that heat up through those trays. All of those trays are very heavily perforated. And so, once again, you've just got low heat with a lot of airflow, and it's just simply drying that meat out. Now, since the elements are generally located in one part of the dehydrator, whether it's in the back or at the bottom, it is a good idea to trade up those shelves or move those shelves, because you may have some subject to a little more heat than another side. So I usually try to flip those trays throughout the dehydration process just for a more even drying, if you will. Most of the time, dehydrators are going to take about 4 to 15 hours of drying time. Again, it depends on the thickness of your meat and what you're doing. I mentioned the oven method. That's usually done in about 4 to 6 hours, give or take. Now, these times are just guidelines, folks, so Don't hold me exactly to these times. It depends on the type of meat you have, the thickness of how you've cut it, whether you've sliced it a quarter inch thick, half inch thick, or less. One of the ways I've seen on social media, and I do not recommend it at all, is what they call the microwave method. I'm not going to really talk too much about it because I'm just going to tell you not to do it. Microwaves do not really cook too evenly as they work out, and this is just not a good process. So regardless of what you see on the good old internet or what anyone tells you, I do not recommend trying to make jerky or drying out any kind of foods really in the microwave. The next method is my personal favorite, and that's called the smoker method. And that's just obvious. You're using a smoker to dry out. You've got your smoker at a low temp, but you're infusing a little bit of smoke for flavor, and it's wonderful. A lot of the commercial jerky that you see at the store has been done through smoke methods. They have different ways of doing it than most of us backyard barbecuers do, but same result. Again, this is my favorite. It's what I like to do. If you come to the store anytime throughout most of the fall and winter, you'll probably see me smoking some jerky out on the grill out in front of the store. My family just absolutely loves jerky, and they're my guinea pigs that I use for different flavors. Hey, you're listening to the Easy Does It Barbecue Show. My name is Dan McDonald. The show is sponsored by Colorado Barbecue Outfitters. Today we're talking about jerky. Two types of smokers that work best for this process, the smoking method, are generally electric smokers because they're able to keep the heat down lower. They're able to regulate the heat a little better. Or wood pellet grills. We did a show on wood pellet grills and we told you all about them. It's one of the types of grills that I sell the most of in the store. So you're always welcome to come into the store and ask me questions, clarification, or what have you. But the wood pellet grills really make making your jerky at home very easy, and as do the electric, really. However, with the electric smokers, just know you're going to have to manually add the wood. Wood pellet grills, turn it on, it's good to go. The reason wood pellet grills work so well is not only can they generally get the temp fairly low because there's a lot of heat deflection that goes on during that cook process, but they have fans that are blowing air into that firebox. So you essentially have a convection style oven, as I've mentioned in previous shows. So they are a perfect way to do jerky at home. Super easy. You don't want to oversmoke. Remember, you're usually cutting your jerky into smaller pieces, which means that if you heavily smoke it, you could make it come out tasting like an ashtray, and that's not what we're striving for. I want what I call a kiss of smoke on my jerky because I really like to, I want to be able to taste the other flavors, whether it was a marinade or something like that that I used. You're going to be looking at about 4 to 6 hours on the smoker method. Again, different variables, depends on your elevation, depends on the thickness of the meat, how you've cut it, how you've prepared it. And it depends on your temperature of your smoker as well. So a couple different variables in there, but the normal window is about 4 to 6 hours, folks. Here's your Easy Does It Barbecue IQ. Let's talk about meat prep. Basically, when you're making jerky at home, you want the leanest meat you can find. You want to try to rid that meat of any and all fat possible. So you do not want to get or use fatty cuts of meat at all. We want to go as lean as possible. So ironically, when we are smoking big cuts of meat or barbecuing big cuts of meat, we like a lot of fat. It renders, it offers a lot of flavor. When we are dehydrating jerky, we don't want fat. So it's a complete flip-flop from if you're doing your normal backyard barbecue activities. The fat can go rancid, and it can go rancid fast, and it can ruin your jerky. So again, we want to make sure we buy lean, or we want to make sure we have a nice sharp knife that we can trim any and all fat off that we can. Now, folks, tiny little bits of fat within things like that, that's okay. I'm not talking about absolute zero content fat, but what I am urging you to do is try to get rid of as much fat as you possibly can on that meat. You want to get very red meat. So what you're looking for at the store, in case you're not sure, is you want to find meat that is as solid red as can be. We don't really want marbling. Now, I know that's different than what you're normally shopping for when you're barbecuing or grilling, but we want to go with more red, less marbling in the meat when we're doing jerky. The normal method of doing jerky is slicing it to about a quarter inch thickness. Now, that's all a guideline. You can do whatever you like. You can slice it thicker. I don't recommend doing that. It increases the drying time. Plus, it makes it a little bit harder to get it thoroughly dried. I would recommend basically about a quarter inch or around there. But it just depends. Remember, thicker, as you dry it out, jerky tends to be pretty tough because of the fact it's dried out. You make it too thick, and it's going to be like chewing on a piece of leather. So we don't want to go too thick on our slices. If you're slicing yourself, whether you're doing it by hand or a slicer or anything, one tip to make that a little bit easier is put the meat in the freezer for about, depending on how big the meat is, anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes. It'll firm up that meat and make slicing so much easier than when it's completely thawed out. Meat selection. So here we go. We got different types. As the beginning of the show, I told you we've got different types. I'm going to get into beef first because that's the most popular. I want to emphasize again, we're going to look for lean beef. Here are some of them. I'm going to read some of the cuts of meat I look for when I go to the grocery store, because I'm like anyone. I pretty much buy my meat when it goes on sale, folks. If I can get a good deal on meat, I'm going to definitely grab it. Now, the beautiful thing about jerky is you are going to slice it up and you are going to dehydrate it. So we don't want to buy an expensive cut of meat, because whether you get a lower cut of meat or a higher, it's going to basically come out the same. So when I go to some of the local grocery stores, I buzz straight to what I call that day-old section. Now, I'm not buying gray or bad meat by any means, but it's not uncommon to find a London broil or a bottom round or something marked down half price that I'm just going to go home, slice up, and dehydrate anyway. One of the most popular cuts of meat that's used is called the eye of round. It's very tender, so it works great for jerky. You don't end up really too much with shoe leather when you're doing that. I mentioned the bottom round. That's probably the most popular one I get because I can seem to always find it on sale. You have a top round, which is another preferred one if you're able to locate that. And by the way, these cuts of meats are generally pretty easy to find. A lot of times people just buy them and throw them in a crock pot for 24 hours. Sirloin tip roast, that's going to be a little pricier. If I can get it on sale, I will. But otherwise, that might be a little high end for your jerky. London broil is another good one. Sounds like it would be a lot, but I am able to find that on sale. It seems like quite a few times. The last two are flank steak and round steak. Now, I'll also finish up with, folks, these are not the only ones you can use. Really, just about any cut will work as long as, again, it's lean, as little fat content as you can find. You're going to be fine with it. Wild game, these are another ones. Now, these are hard to find. Usually, wild game is going to be a buddy or somebody you know that's out hunting and is offering you some extra cuts. That's what happens to me. In my case, it was, of course, my father that we had a lot of wild game cuts.
I love you, son.
I love you too, Dad.
A lot of wild game, some of it can be leaner than beef, simply because it's grown in the wild and not generally fattened up like we do. Elk is absolutely awesome. Elk is one of my favorites. It's a very lean meat, and it's got a great flavor. Something interesting about venison, which, by the way, venison is just another word for deer meat. I don't care for venison. My poor father would try to prepare venison or deer meat a number of ways, chili, all kinds of stews, steaks, you name it. The poor guy tried everything, soaked it in Coke, buttermilk to get the gaminess out. And I did not care for it. And as a result, I never made jerky out of it. But I worked in an office years ago where a lady I knew who was from the state of Maine, her father owned a bar up there. She brought in some jerky one day, and it was some of the best jerky I ever had. Come to find out, you got it. It was venison meat, and it was just a way he prepared it. He made it and sold it commercially, and it was just absolutely wonderful. So it just goes to show, you may not like it one way prepared, but you may like it another. Bison is another very good one that sometimes you can get your hands on here in Colorado and makes a good jerky meat as well. Poultry, that's not something I really do. Thighs are generally recommended as the best type of meat to do. The only time I've ever made dried poultry, to be perfectly honest, was when I had a dog, and I made some all-natural organic doggy treats, and I just had tons of leftover chicken And I just simply dehydrated it, and it just makes for a great healthy snack for a dog to eat. So it can be done, but it's not something that I generally prepare for myself. Pork, as I mentioned at the beginning of the story, not recommended. We're not going to talk really about it because it's not something that I think you're not going to find too many jerky recipes for pork, to be honest. And no offense to the pork industry, but it's just not a great meat used for jerky. Fish can be done. It's rare. It's not something I do a lot of. I've done a couple. I've used salmon when I've done it. But some of the fish that you can find in the state of Colorado that can be made into jerky is crappie, bass, and pike. Northern pike is actually very popular for making fish jerky out of, and we do have that here in our state. But my favorite, of course, is salmon. There's just something about salmon meat. I grew up with it. It was smoked in Alaska. It was dried in Alaska. It was what I called candied in Alaska, and it is just something that I really acquired a taste for as a young man and still do. And so I do like to dehydrate salmon quite a bit. So that's going to be about it for today, folks. I actually have more topics on jerky that I'm going to bring back to you at later shows, and we'll go into some of those under some other topics. But as far as getting you through making jerky at home, I've given you some good highlights on how to do it, some easy ways. And again, always come by, call, message the store. We'll be more than happy to help out with any of your questions. Remember, I do a jerky class. I do a sausage class, which is just a kind of another form of it. All of my classes can be found on my classes link on the store's website, which is 719bbq.com. If you go there and click on the classes link, now right now I do only have the Best of Barbecue class listed, but as we get into fall, I will start picking some dates and putting more classes in there that I think you all will be very interested in. So this has been Easy Does It Barbecue, brought to you by Colorado Barbecue Outfitters at 5921 North Academy Boulevard. It's on the northeast corner of Vickers and Academy. The phone number is 719-465-1041. Please call me at any time for any questions that you may have. My website is 719BBQ, so just remember area code and barbecue, 719BBQ.com. Here's some of the things you'll see when you walk in the door of Colorado Barbecue Outfitters. First of all, I carry the largest selection of rubs and sauces along the front range. I carry all wood products, pellets, chips, chunks, and logs. I carry all accessories and gadgets that you'll need to make your life a little bit easier with cooking outdoors. And lastly, I carry all sorts of smokers and grills for every different experience level of the barbecue enthusiast. Thanks for listening. This has been Easy Does It Barbecue with Dan McDonald. So remember, if it ain't easy, you're working too hard. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Easy Does It Barbecue, brought to you by Colorado Barbecue Outfitters, specializing in pellet grills, charcoal grills, electric smokers, sauces, rubs, and barbecue accessories. Online at 719bbq.com. See you next Saturday at 1 for Easy Does It Barbecue. And listen to the podcast on Podbean.